This is The Hardline, the greatest show on earth.
Well, maybe just in St. Louis.
Out of all road, freak show, something to see. Got them lined up and waiting, taking bullets for me. I'm a Mack truck. I'm chucking down a one-way street. You better move, that's my tank.
The Hardline with TJ Moe, Cam Jansen, John Hadley, Bob Ramsey, and who the hell else knows?
Hey, hey, what's going on, St. Louis? That is, of course, an honor of Eric Messersmith, who is not dead, but he is dead to John. And that is how we go forward with our lives. You're listening to The Hardline, 5-9 The Fan, Kevin S. and 5-9TheFan.com. I am former Missouri wide receiver TJ Moe, along with Jonathan Franklin Edgar Hadley, who took a smoke break. He's outside. Rock, I think he offended him to some degree. He called him basic right before he walked out and has not been back.
Do you think John's locked in on basic being
basic? John Hadley entering
the
building.
Do you think he picked up on that?
John, did you hear him call you basic right before you walked out?
Well, let me tell you something.
I hate you, TJ.
Better than what most people call me.
That was a compliment. 855-282-8255. I promise you, we're going to read text today. So Matt Rocchio has that pulled up today, right, Rock? And we have done a terrible job reading text, but I do want you guys involved in the show. I apologize for that being kind of on the back burner the past week or so.
So what TJ's saying, feel free to text, bitches!
and that's what Rock said to John right before he walked out. I'm surprised he came back. But also, yesterday Rock was threatened with having been moved to the midnight show. So I'm not sure who's got a job here, who doesn't have a job here, and you know how much longer they're going to have a job if they do have one.
Well, on a day like today, I can't joke because I'll probably scare people.
What's going on today?
There are a few people that just got off on the wrong foot.
I always know you're joking, John.
I hope you're joking.
I'm always confident you're joking.
You're still joking? 855-282-8255.
Look at how steady my hand is.
For those
of
you
confident.
Who are not employed by the station, you are welcome to text in. For those of you that are actually employed by the station, I would recommend not texting in today.
Or at least use a different name.
Oh, that'd be nice.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. So, a lot of fun stuff to get into today, of course. So, we talked about this a little bit yesterday, the NFL stuff. I love the NFL because there are 10 million angles, and they can all be broken down all week long. Why do you think that is, John? Before we go any further on this, why do you think in hockey and in baseball and in basketball, you have way more games, and we struggle to break down the games for more than a day or so? But in football, you have one game, and there's like 90 different angles, and you can break it down and not run out of things to talk about the whole week.
Well, baseball and hockey are played with a semblance of regularity. Football is played once a week. So you have an extended period of time to analyze the game and an extended period of time to act like you're capable of analyzing the game. You could do the same thing with baseball. I mean, baseball is the ultimate thinking man sport, but you really don't have time because you sit there, you talk about it, the game's played a couple hours later, and next thing you know, you got another game being played in a couple hours. So, you know, you tend to simplify for the sake of time constraints, where with football, it's an eternity. I mean, the single most over-discussed topic in all of sports every year is the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Because you have 2 weeks to discuss it. It's basically always been my policy. You talk about it the Monday after. And then you don't talk about it until the following Monday.
I've always hated that extra week. You know? But don't worry, we get the Pro Bowl to talk about now.
Yeah, I don't know why it is the truth there. I think you're right on that. Although outside of St. Louis, I think the interest level for baseball would drop, whereas the interest level for the NFL breaking it down really stays strong.
Yeah, but there's still cities like Chicago and Boston and New York, and I don't know that I would go as far as to say Baltimore, D.C., but on occasion. I mean, there's still old-school baseball towns that will talk baseball year-round, not just St. Louis.
Yeah, that's fair.
And Boston has, obviously, a phenomenal array of sports teams, but as incredibly popular as the Patriots are, as deep as the roots are for the Celtics and the Bruins, the team in Boston is still the Red Sox, anywhere you cut it. Just like in New York, as big as the Giants are, I'm not even going to mention the Jets, as deep as the roots are for the Knicks and the Rangers, Yankees are still the team. The one East Coast city of significance, well, no, that's not true, because you could say Pittsburgh, although I wouldn't put them on the same scale. But among the top-tier cities, the only city that I don't think baseball rules is Philly. I think that's an Eagles town, followed by however you want to rank them. Again, the Flyers would probably be three when the Sixers are good.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I'm sorry, Flyers would be four when the Sixers are good, mm-hmm. and three when the Sixers aren't.
So why do you think, I mean, we know gambling and we know fantasy football and stuff, toy with the ratings, so that's partially unfair. But if those are actually baseball, because when I was up, the reason I'm not necessarily contending this, but inquiring about this, is because when I was up in Boston and I would walk around, obviously nobody knew who I was up there, and I was interested in the same question. And I would ask just random people in different sports bars and things in Boston, rank me your teams. And the Patriots, and this was actually in the middle of a drought, but obviously the Patriots have been good. They had just lost the Super Bowl in 2011, and they hadn't won one since 2004, but they were always great. And the Patriots, and granted, this is Foxborough, so it wasn't right in the city of Boston, but I went to some Boston bars, and I was mostly in Foxborough. And the Patriots were always one or two. And the Red Sox were there, but it's actually a much bigger hockey town. I had a lot of hockey number ones.
Oh, yeah.
Than far bigger than I would have expected. There was, and this was, I think, the Bruins win it in 2012.
Yeah.
So that's partially the reason why I had some hockey ones. But the Patriots were always there, one and two, and the Red Sox would range from one to four because there are so many Celtics fans. It would actually, you had a lot of different
Dude,
number ones.
Look, you can do all the damn polls you want. I've been in this business. I've been to Boston. At the Sporting News, I work with Boston people. You're not, you're so far wrong. You couldn't be right. It's a Red Sox town, and everything else follows.
Well,
now, what order two through four is fine. If you ask the average Boston sports fan, if you could only have one team, it would clearly be the Red Sox, unequivocally.
Yeah,
it would clearly
especially
be
right
Red
now
Sox.
After what they're doing.
You know, it's just that simple. I mean,
that's interesting. Why do you think it's like that on the East Coast as opposed to the rest?
It's just like in Chicago. Most people would say, oh, the Bears. No. If you told Chicago people you could have one team, it would be the Cubs. Now, the Bears are a very close second.
And if you asked them in the 90s, it would have been the Bulls because of Jordan.
Again, you can find little time frames. I'm talking over a period of time. Virtually any decade, you would have. Sam, I mean, I worked in New York for 20 years.
Right.
Rangers came and went. Devils came and went. Knicks came and went.
Mm-hmm.
Jets actually had a couple of decent years during that time frame. Mets.
Oh, right, yeah. But people have said the Rams for 3 years here. But it's obviously
it's
a Cardinals town.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's
fair. I still think that for that three-year period of time, if you were sitting at a bar and you asked people, if you could only have one team, the vast majority of people will still pick the Cardinals even when the Rams were hot.
Yeah, that's probably true here. That's probably not as true in other cities, but I think that's definitely true here.
Now, you go to places like L.A., and I suspect it would be the Dodgers, but I wouldn't be remotely shocked if it was the Lakers.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely right. Yeah, why do you think there's a big difference there, West Coast, East Coast? Because I think West Coast would be more other sports than baseball, whereas East Coast, I think that makes a lot of sense.
I don't know. I mean, because some of those, I mean, like San Diego is just not a great sports town. But...
Well, they fought hard to keep those Chargers.
San Diego's a different city. I mean, it's just it's a really unique city. Everybody looks at L.A. as just being this classic outdoor. Well, in a sense, they are. San Diego epitomizes it, though.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously, if you told people tomorrow the Padres were gone and you were not going to have a pro sports franchise, nobody's losing any sleep. And I mean that sincerely.
That's the truth.
Nobody's losing any sleep in San Diego. Because it's just one of those towns that people...
They'd rather go to SeaWorld.
They go to the beach, they go to the mountains.
Yeah.
They go to Mexico. I mean, it's just, that's just the way the city is made up.
I know. It's such a laissez-faire city.
You know? I mean, there are certain cities. I mean, obviously Green Bay's one of them, but it's a small niche town, but there aren't too many teams, I think, where the NFL is truly number one. Now, Dallas, 100%.
Right.
Well, you know, Dallas might be the ultimate city.
So do you think it's...
I think the Eagles are probably number one in Philly.
And
I can't say for sure. Pittsburgh, definitely.
Yeah.
Unequivocally. And I still think in the Mid-Atlantic region, even with the success that the Nats have had and, you know, the Capitals and everything, I still think it's a Redskins time.
Sure.
I know it's Texas, but do you think it's a lock that the Texans are the biggest team in Houston even?
No.
And that's crazy.
No. Let me tell you something right now. I'm not so sure.
Even when they're winning 9 straight.
I'm not so sure, in all seriousness. I'm not so sure it's not the Rockets.
What's interesting is...
They just won a championship in baseball?
Well, we know that. But what's interesting is the ratings tell you, and this is what we know, this is the gambling and fantasy football change everything, because it doesn't tell you they're interested in the team. It tells you they're interested in the outcome of the game. So this is why that it's not really.
And it doesn't.
But the ratings are so crazy.
It's the easiest sport to bet.
Right. Right. Exactly. That's why the gambling of it actually matters. So it changes the conversation. It doesn't mean you necessarily support the team. I watch all the games, even from this city, if I got $5 on a game. And it's easiest to gamble because it's all consolidated into one day and one singular time for Sunday Night Football. Everybody's sitting there watching the same game.
And at least half the teams you're ultimately familiar with.
Yeah.
You know, and when I've been through this report, people say, half the teams? Well, I think most people pretty well know the Packers. I think most people pretty well know the Cowboys. Probably know the Giants. Obviously, nowadays, they would know New Orleans, you know. At times, it's Atlanta, but New Orleans. Obviously, Seattle,
mm-hmm.
New England. Even though they suck, most people know about the Jets, the Steelers, the Ravens.
Yeah, and today they all know about the Rams because they've been such a big story.
And the Broncos are one of those never-ending teams. I'm shocked at how many Bronco fans there really are. Right?
That's a place, by the way, we didn't say. That's a football town.
No. In fact,
that's a true football
town. That's one I was getting to, because I still contend to this day that it may be. Because, again, it's like the Cardinals have a really strong St. Louis following, but really what makes up Cardinal Nation or the fringe and the...
It's a national
out
brand.
Of state, yeah.
That's right.
I mean, you take away the fans coming, and I'm not talking about the east side, but other parts of Illinois, Iowa, mm-hmm. Kansas, Arkansas,
Nebraska.
Oklahoma, Nebraska. You take away those fans, they're not drawing 3 million.
No. It's
Cardinals are not drawing 3 million.
Yes.
The Cardinals are the Cardinals because of the radio signal in the 60s and 70s and the fact that it hit everything.
Yeah, people down in Arizona listening to 1120. The other thing is
they
this.
They could catch you wherever you were.
When you
I lived the 70s. Had nothing to do with 70s. 80s,
well,
yes.
Well, yes, fair point.
When you
no one was listening no matter where you were in America.
When you leave St. Louis, your fandom is up for whatever city you go to except for the Cardinals.
Yeah.
You leave St. Louis and you end up in Seattle, you become a Seahawks fan, and you still wear your Cardinals hat everywhere.
Yeah.
And that's just, look, by the way, I did that in Boston. I wore my Cardinals hat everywhere. I didn't even like baseball that much, but I wore my Cardinals hat everywhere, mostly because I hated the Red Sox. But that's what everybody I know does. My buddy lived in Denver, and he cheered for the Broncos, and he's like, yeah, everything. But I listened to your show because I want to hear about the Cardinals and how they're doing.
I mean, as you know, I still remain a fan of the Dolphins and the Marlins and the Heat. And the Panthers, which I followed all of them, but I didn't miss a Cardinal game when I was down there if I wasn't working or traveling. I didn't miss a Blues game. I spent more money than most people make in a year at Pete Rose's watching Blues games. I mean, it was...
Yeah, it's an interesting discussion overall.
Because the provider I had, I couldn't get the NHL package at my house, and you couldn't put a dish in this condo. complex. Back in the day, you couldn't put the dish up.
Yeah.
So I had no choice. I had to go elsewhere to see most of the Blues games.
The Blues, by the way, their road did not get any easier, as today the Nashville Predators have activated PK Subban and Victor Arvidsson from injured reserve. Those two guys been out for quite a while, actually.
Yeah.
Finally healthy, and that Nashville team has looked dangerous even without them. So good luck to everybody in the Central Division, who I still remain very much anti-Predators, and I am a fan of their injuries and all of the bad things that happened to them. But they're a really good team that's going to continue to surge here for the coming years.
There's no doubt. I mean, truth be told, if you were to take a five-year window from, so it would have been 15, 16, 17, 18. So going back to 14 through 18, you could very well make the case that the Predators have been one of the five best run sports franchises in America.
Yeah, so the guy who, I forget his name, he's actually the president of the Tampa Bay Devil Rays, but he's the one who really got him up and running there. He was the president of the Nashville Predators for, see if you can look that up. And as soon as he left, they went on this run, but he built them up from nothing. Because remember, that, by the way, Nashville is another one. Nashville is, we can rank the sports. Nashville is a country music town and then everything else. But as far as this, but that's a Titan town, top to bottom. And so the Preds just tried to carve out a little niche. But look at what the Preds have done now. I mean, they get the entire offensive line of the Titans to show up to their games. That is a freaking party when they go into the playoffs.
And I'll tell you what. Since we've limited it to pro sports, I agree with you, but I would actually say that's a Tennessee town,
yeah,
followed by the Titans.
Even in Nashville, where the Vanderbilt is, yeah, that's a Tennessee town. I think you're exactly right. Yeah.
Now, I don't want to stray too far from this, but just to show, because a lot of people say this.
Kogan.
Thing.
Kogan's, I'm sorry, that's the president's name. Kogan. Jill is the, anyway, he's the president of Tampa Bay Devil Rays now, right. And he's the one who built that.
Right. Tampa Bay Rays. Yeah.
Tampa Bay Rays, thank you.
Kogan's Heroes. So.
Yeah.
Everybody wants to come up with this, that, and the other thing, and the next thing. I don't know in this decade if there has been a sport that skyrocketed higher or have fallen faster than the UFC. They have a big card coming up this weekend.
That they had to move based on one guy because they have no stars left.
John Jones and Gustafson? That was a must-see at one point. Cyborg and Nunes? Cyborg was one that everybody had to finally see fight. Nunes, she was the next champion, right? She held a belt for a while, didn't she, Ra?
Nunes is the one that
Amanda
crushed
Nunes?
Rousey,
yeah,
and punched her in the face like 40 times and made
her
quit.
Well, that was
actually
a couple of them at the end. I think she was the second one to whip Rousey or the third one?
She was the last, and this was Rousey's comeback.
Right.
She was the last one
right.
to do it.
I can't remember if she got beat two or three times.
Rousey got kicked in the head by Holly Holmes.
She She was defending her title against Rousey in UFC 207, and she won by TKO due to punches in just 48
seconds. Holly Holmes
seconds.
Kicked Rousey in the head, and then
right.
she made her comeback against Nunes, mm-hmm. who just crushed her.
You have Nunes against Cyborg. You have Gustafson against Jones and some other decent fights on the card. Who the hell have you heard talking about the fight?
Oh,
about the card.
The only thing anybody's discussing, and this is funny, and maybe it's a good marketing ploy, is that they've had to move it based on one guy. That's the only thing I've heard about the fight. Nothing about how excited anybody is.
Nothing. Crickets. Two years ago, it led ESPN to pay an outrageous sum of money to take away from Fox Sports.
Fox has been the ultimate maneuverers in recent day.
And
they got the NFC this year, which was amazing. And then they found a way to get rid of, unload the, and pick up the WWE, which is ascending, and
yep.
unload UCF. They have made every right move.
Look at every step of the way. They had hockey, got rid of it.
Yep.
Baseball, they know the exact target audience that they're gunning for.
Mm-hmm.
They know exactly what they're gunning for, which is a greatly different audience than football.
Oh, yeah.
So you got both dynamics. Fox was into racing, auto racing, huge. When it reached a peak, Fox said no more. And guess what? Auto racing has been on a downward slide like an 18-wheel truck without brakes.
Could we make the argument, John, that Fox was a large reason why, and that their promotional teams and things have been better than ESPN.
I think Fox does a phenomenal job of promoting itself and promoting their sports. And they happen to get in on the ground floor of a couple at the right time, which I think elevated the value of those sports. And Fox realized it and said, okay, thanks, but no thanks, and walked out of contract.
Right. So the ascension or I don't know if I'm saying that right, these products ascending or descending could be because Fox has let them go or decided to go after them, because the marketing team and promotional team of Fox have been so good. And what's been amazing is they're doing all of this during a transitional time. Fox right now is in the ultimate transition. Half of their assets have been up for the highest bidder, and they may end up, by the time it's all said and done, buying back the regional sports networks to begin with.
Oh. They have Fox Broadcast. They have FS1/FS2. Fox News and Fox Business. They'll make money.
Oh, yeah. Fox is...
They'll make money, and the Murdochs became multi-billionaires selling these assets to Disney because Disney has a vision. And the only way that Disney was ever to achieve that vision was to go out and buy content, because Disney wants to beat Netflix. Disney wants to be number one, and they wanted to go mano a mano with Netflix. Well, you take away Disney products from Netflix, you've immediately hurt Netflix. Then you add all the Fox content. Dude, go and look at the most popular shows over the course of the last three decades, some of the biggest movies. Do you know the percentage that were either on Fox or produced by Fox? You know, everybody talks about Modern Family. Oh, Modern Family, what's it on here locally? Channel 30, whatever the ABC affiliate is?
Yeah, the 30.
Yeah. But that's a Fox production. Yeah, it's on
ABC.
Oh,
the studios. Yeah. Oh, yeah, Fox Studios is ridiculous. Yeah, yeah. When you find out how many stuff on like ABC and NBC goes through Fox Studios, it's absolutely unbelievable.
Exactly. You take Fox and Disney as a whole, you'd be shocked the percentage of significant shows and movies that have come from those two entities.
Mm-hmm.
Disney has now combined them. Netflix is in for a fight, dude.
Oh.
Netflix is in for a fight.
I've heard the argument recently. So I'm not worried about Disney. Disney has zero to worry about. But ESPN does have something to worry about. And I have heard arguments in recent day that if Disney was smart, they would unload ESPN on somebody. And somebody would take the bait. Because ESPN, in what they have leveraged their entire business on, is live programming and what these leagues are demanding now, at some point is probably going to make them bankrupt. Because you can't make your entire everything based on that and then hope to build shows around it and not be able to afford it.
If it wasn't for the other elements of Disney, which includes their other broadcast elements, theme parks, everything else, Disney would be in bankruptcy. ESPN so overextended itself.
Yep.
That if they did not have a corporate giant to support them, ESPN would be in bankruptcy.
That's how badly. They, over the last few years, we've seen. That. What did they have? Over a million lost subscribers in the last quarter?
Yeah.
And they have gone from, in 2011 or 12, 100 million subscribers down to 85 million in cable.
Everybody, look at, everybody thought that in all likelihood, Fox and Disney would either battle to the end for the rights to the college football playoff or share them. And once it reached a certain point, Fox said, no, finito, I'm out.
Yep.
You know, and went on. So, you know, it is what it is. But
ESPN has got to figure out something, because First Take is great. They have one First Take, and they haven't been able to replicate it with Max Kellerman. Like, the ratings are fine because Stephen A. Smith is who he is, but that's not an ascending show. And outside of that, they paid $20 million for Get Up in salaries between three people and unloaded Michelle Beadle because she was wrecking the show, and have Greeny there, don't really know what to do with Jalen Rose, and basically have a cast of guys coming in. They have not been able to create a second show that matters at all outside of SportsCenter and First Take.
I have not actually confirmed this, but I was told that all three of Fox's morning shows, which includes FS1, not Fox,
yeah.
FS1.
Yeah, yeah.
Nick Wright, Chris Carter, Shannon Sharp.
Skip Bayless.
And
Colin Cowherd.
You combine those five salaries, and it's either slightly less or just slightly more than what ESPN committed to
Get Up. Yeah, that is unbelievable.
So you're talking about what it amounts to, I believe, 8 hours of programming, maybe 7 hours of programming.
Yeah,
for Fox, three different shows.
That's right.
7 or 8 hours of programming for the same price that ESPN paid for Mike Greenberg to have his own show.
Yep. Yeah, and what you know why it's so bad is because Michelle Beadle got paid so much. The amount of money Michelle Beadle got paid to remember, she basically got kicked off the show 3 days after, and this is a coincidence, but 3 days after announcing that she was boycotting football in general. Yeah. She was not watching any more college football or NFL.
Yeah, which, of course, was a brilliant statement to make when your company basically, about a third of your company income probably comes from those two sports minimally.
Yeah. But more importantly,
how the hell are you going to be a sports analyst on a sports show if you're not watching football?
And you just signed eight people that week had signed eight NFL guys to come in and analyze what was going on, and you had to interview them. Eight. This is like Teddy Bruschi, and this is like Dan Orlovsky, and all the guys that you see on the show. That's what you saw.
Huh?
I mean, it's the craziest thing. So anyway, ESPN has large, and ESPN, to their credit, have done, like we've talked about, like we rarely on this show talk about politics. You do a little more than the rest of us, but we've gone away from that intentionally to give people a break. ESPN over the last month, and they've been doing it, but they announced over the last month or two that they're like, we are recalibrating and we have made a big mistake about the interest of our audience. We realize you guys want sports and we are steering more that direction. Whereas they went all in on social issues thinking that was going to be their differentiator, and their ratings tanked. And that's why you saw hundreds. I think at one point, 6 months ago, they laid off 300 people in a week.
Well, the single biggest mistake ESPN ever made was a SportsCenter change to Michael Smith and
Jemele Hill.
I was going to say, what the hell? You're blaming Michelle Beadle for everything.
Jemele Hill, who she left ESPN officially now, I think. Because she was taken off, but then is she still part of the company?
If you just take the money and run, you can couch it however you want.
Okay.
So, but when was the last time you heard from Michael Smith?
No, that SportsCenter 6 was the single worst, and the ratings showed.
Because Michael Smith was a guy that I think most people sort of sat back and was impressed with his presentation. His knowledge, just that and the other thing.
He was really good on Around the Horn. Yeah. That's where he first got his start.
And all of a sudden they put him on, tried to make him some type of hip-hop artist, and he looked foolish and was completely out of his realm in the truest sense.
Man. What's interesting is they have one guy who actually came from politics and got into sports. That's Will Cain. And he's the one guy who doesn't agree with the rest of the politics of ESPN. Will Cain actually does a decent job talking politics because he's the most informed, but he shouldn't be talking politics much either. Don't go to ESPN or FS1 or anywhere else to talk politics. Colin Cowherd, I think, is one of he's the best sportscaster in the country, and I think he talks politics better than most. And over the last 2 years, he said, with the Trump presidency, politics are poison. You will not hear me talk about politics. And he has gone away from it. He occasionally, once in a blue moon, will say something, and it's very little to do with politics, but he's just got a wide view of sports in general. So he'll say something to give an analogy. But he says, I think I know politics. I like politics. You don't want to hear me talk about politics, so I won't.
It's funny that you put it that way, because I actually had a person yesterday say, why do you keep riding the fence? What do you mean riding the fence? So you're taking the easy way out. I said, what do you mean taking the easy? He said, you talk about agreeing with many of Trump's policies, and then you rip Trump. You're trying to make both people happy? I thought to myself, that comment right there just goes to prove what I know, that there is no logic in this country anymore.
Yeah.
Because you either have to be for or against someone.
Yeah.
You can't see both sides.
That's right.
You can't see both sides.
And how dare you be a complex individual that has differing thoughts?
My biggest problem with Donald Trump, President Trump, my biggest problem is there has been a number of times I've been embarrassed that he's president of the United States. I was never embarrassed that Barack Obama was the president of the United States.
Or Bush. But I think some of us were with Clinton.
I disagree with about 75% of Barack Obama's policies. And I agree with 75% of Trump's policies. It can be both. It can be both. I mean, to this day, during my lifetime, I think the two most effective presidents were Ronald Reagan and Bill Clinton. And both have enormous detractors. And yet if today they could somehow, some way miraculously come back at the same age, they both win today.
Well,
because Ronald Reagan was a much more shrewd individual with a much better support staff than Donald Trump. Ronald Reagan, his policies were at times as crazy as some of the stuff Trump's doing. But the difference is Ronald Reagan could make you feel all comfy and warm, not knowing the outcome.
He was an eloquent talker.
Yeah. That's not what Trump is.
No.
Not Trump. I think Bill Clinton did one thing better than anyone else, and that's nothing.
He let the tech boom happen.
Bill Clinton sat back and let business run this country. And when this country is running at its best, business is running it. It's just that simple.
Did you see, you probably remember this speech, but I was not alive in the 80s, so I didn't see it until recently on a Facebook video. And this was right after Ronald Reagan had been shot. And he was up giving his first speech publicly again, which, you know, think about that, how much courage the first time you have to go out there and speak in front of everybody when you've just been shot. And a balloon popped, and that you could have heard a pin drop. And he, without hesitation, veered from his speech and said, "Miss me," and went right back. He is as smooth as any speaker you'll ever hear.
Life is sort of amazing. Shortly after he was shot, not shortly after, it was a tad after, I go to the Illinois. Mike White was still the coach then. Howard Balzer went with me. We drove up for the Illinois spring game.
Mm-hmm.
And went to a few of the after parties. Because back in the day, spring game just basically meant there was a lot of alumni coming back and a lot of folks just having fun.
Right.
You know, sort of a gathering. At that party, I met the Secret Service agent. I met the Secret Service agent that got shot.
Oh, no way.
Yeah. He was an Illinois grad.
How about that?
And the funny thing is, you know how I met him? I was walking up to say hello to Scott Studstill, who happened to just, at that point in time, dip down and put his mouth underneath the spigot and poured himself about 14 beers at one time. And standing next to him,
Cam do that before.
There you go. There you go. But you want to talk about a fascinating night. Just talking to that guy about that whole experience.
I bet, man.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. I can't remember if it was Tony Eason or Dave Wilson. Somehow, some way, we wound up over at their house. And you want to talk about some craziness. Illinois knows how to party back in the day. Mike White, he was at most of them.
I believe that. The other, you'll remember this too. This I think was during a presidential debate, and we got to go break here. But it was President Reagan was, when he was running for his second term, was very old, and somebody came in and said, "Yeah, so what do you say to the people who say, you know, he's getting pretty old?" And Reagan turned around, and I'm paraphrasing here, basically says, "I refuse to allow an attack on my opponent for being young and inexperienced."
Oh, yeah. No, that was during one of the debates with Walter Mondale.
Yeah.
He said, "I will not hold it against my opponent for being so young and inexperienced." And you know who laughed harder than anyone? Walter Mondale. He's on the podium laughing hard, belly laughing, when Ronald Reagan said that.
That's quick,
that's
man.
That's the difference. I mean, Reagan's policies were pretty far out there back in the day.
Yeah.
And you know what? He screwed with Europe and Russia, too. back in the day.
Yeah.
Just did it in a much more, much different manner, and the country embraced it.
He was a diplomat.
Yeah.
That's different.
That was a different time. So when it comes to politics, people just need to be able to look at both sides because there's strengths and weaknesses on both sides. But nobody's willing to accept that the opposite side may have a good point or two. That's the problem with this country right now. I'm serious.
Well, that may be true about politics, but generally when we're talking sports, I have all the good points and you don't have any. Royal Banks of Missouri. That's what I want to talk about right now. Oh, I go straight
everybody
into
agrees with Royal Banks, baby.
That's right, baby. Royal Banks, of course, Royal Banks of Missouri. They will give you the best of everything. Now, when you go sign up for a checking account, they give you the best rewards in the world. You can get better interest rates on your money. You can get some cash back, credits that can be used with Apple, Google, Amazon, anything and everything that you need, they can get you. I can assure you there are no monthly service charges. All you have to do to qualify for this, of course, is probably things that you do anyway. Make 15 monthly debit card purchases. Rock does that on a Monday morning. Have at least 2 automatic monthly payments from your account. Accept your monthly statement electronically. That's it. This is a full service bank. They can do any and everything that you need. 11 neighborhood locations now. Me and Rock are millennials. That means we use mobile banking. They have full mobile banking. So Rock has probably never even seen one of their 11 beautiful locations because when you get to check, all you got to do is take a picture of it. That is full mobile banking. Goes right into your account. Piece of cake. Bada bing, bada boom. That is it. Also, full commercial lending departments. Royal Banks was a key player in the financing of the Blues' new practice facility. We in this town have a little bit of an inferiority complex. 2 football teams have left us. We need help keeping some of our things. Royal Banks stepped up to make sure the Blues have a nice new home to go practice. Thank you to Royal Banks for that. And you can go support Royal Banks because of that. Royal Banks of Missouri, where better service means better banking. Member FDIC and Equal Housing Lender. Make sure you check them out, royalbanksofmo.com or 314-212-1500. That would be my recommendation to all of you. And for a better life. There you go. So, we got to go to break. We'll be back shortly. I have no idea what we talked about in the first hour, to be honest with you. There was no real rhyme or reason to any of that, but I assure you, you are smarter because of it. We will get into some actual NBA talk, which will make Rock very excited, and we're going to talk about LeBron James. So we will get text from each of you that says, who cares about the NBA, and or finally some NBA talk. So this will be a lot of fun. It's Hardline.